Thank you very much. If you would take your Bibles tonight, we will finish our series on Calvary, the day that changed everything. We'll finish that tonight and then look forward to a new series as we begin the new year. If you would take your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, I will get there in just a moment, but I want to read to you from Mark chapter 16. So if you'd turn to John chapter 20, and I will join you in just a moment, but I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now, if you're there in your Bibles in John chapter 20, I want to read a lengthier text because I believe it's interesting to catch up this entire story. And it's been a few weeks since we've been in this. So if you would, begin reading with me in John chapter 20 in verse number 1. John chapter 20 in verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So we have in the beginning of the passage, the first one to come there to the tomb is Mary Magdalene. She'd come early. It was still dark under the sepulchre. And she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. We know from Mark chapter 16 that she is the first one to also see the resurrected Savior. So let's pick up that story in verse number 11. John chapter 20 and verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. We've walked all the way through the Calvary scene and what has transpired, and now we're in this period right after the resurrection. We have looked at Jesus rising from the dead in the early morning hours of that first day of the week. We've looked at the ladies that have come to the grave to find the stone was rolled away. We've seen how Mary Magdalene had left and the other ladies and then had returned to tell the disciples. We've seen Peter and John arrive at the tomb. And this is the story that we find here in that text there with Peter and John running to the tomb. I think in our last time together, albeit it's been a few Wednesday nights, in our last time together, we looked at Jesus Christ on the Emmaus Road. And of course, we know that the Lord appears to the disciples on that same Sunday night. But I want to turn my attention tonight in this closing message from the series on Calvary. I want to turn our attention to the first appearance of the resurrected Lord and the narrative of his interaction with Mary Magdalene. We remember from Luke chapter 8 and verse number 2 a very quick section of words that detail for us Mary's salvation. The Bible says, "And certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." So you can only imagine what her life was like before the Lord Jesus Christ and what it would be like now with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that she traveled with the Lord, she ministered to the Lord, she was greatly blessed by what Jesus Christ had done on her behalf to deliver her from the demonic activity. She is the first person that has come to the tomb. She is also the first person that is going to interact with the risen Savior. And I want you to see how this impacted her life and how it directed her to something that is very important for all of us. Now, if you'd go with me into these verses, verses 11 through 18, we'll break them down further. But again, I want to bring into the story verse number 1. So as she has come to this tomb, you remember that they've all come to the tomb that they might anoint the body of Jesus and further impact it from decay and everything like that that was natural for the body as a person had died. And so they've come, and then they realize on their way, what are we going to do here in this matter? Because we cannot possibly roll the stone away. And so the Bible says there in verse number 1 in chapter 20 that she's come early, it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. She immediately then turns and she goes to tell the others, hey, the stone has been rolled away. Now, do you remember everything that went into the stone being set there at that grave? Do you remember that it was guarded by soldiers? Do you remember that the stone was rolled over the mouth of that sepulcher? Do you remember that it was sealed? And so, to the best of man's ability, they had done all that they could to make it as sure as they possibly could. We find that in other passages such as Matthew, where they directed these soldiers and they directed the high priest and they said, make it as sure as ye can. So on their way there, they think to themselves, hey, we won't have any capacity to move this stone. What are we going to do? But then upon arrival, they find that the stone is removed. Now let's go back down to verse number 11. So she's been there. She goes back and tells everybody else, hey, the stone has been moved. Now she returns to the sepulcher. And the Bible says, but Mary stood without. Again, let me just pick this up. Peter and John have come and they've departed, so she's there alone. Now, I tell you what, I'm not one that would probably linger by myself. But she lingers by herself, and the Bible says she stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She lingers at the tomb. Peter and John have headed for home, but Mary lingers. We see as we read in the different gospels that she's overwhelmed by the grief of his death. She's overwhelmed now by the grief of the body's disappearance. So it's not just that he's died. It's now we have no idea where his body has gone. I'm sure her mind was racing as to what could have happened to his body. We kind of see an indication of that in just a few moments. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ so much and does not want to leave until she knows more of the details. Maybe, just maybe, if she stays, she'll find out something that the others do not yet know. Is this the kind of investigator that you are? Everyone else has been quick to see and quick to leave, but she lingers. She lingers at the tomb. Well, after this time of lingering, look what she does. Verse number 11, we continue to read. She's going to look inside. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now, we have in the passage and other gospel texts, We have an understanding that at different times the angelic beings appeared, and they made statements to those that would come to the tomb. And so it's obvious when you read the previous 8-9 verses that when Peter and John arrive there, there's no angelic appearance. But now they come back and they're going to appear specifically to Mary Magdalene. And so look what happens. Now again, let's put ourselves in Mary's shoes. She's weeping over his death, now weeping over the loss of his body, lingering at the tomb, probably not a place I would linger. I'd be like, Peter, John, if you're headed out, I'm headed out. I'm not staying behind. But she lingers, and now she's going to say, you know what? I'll just take one more look inside. And when she does, there's two angelic beings. Again, I don't know how long you would have stuck around, but I got to tell you, I'm not real sure that I would have still been like Mary. I would have gotten the willies probably. And I would have said, you know, okay. No one's supposed to be talking to me from inside this place, right? You've got to think that, all right? You've got to say that. Not me, Pastor. I would have been like a rock. I don't know. But she's sobbing over everything that has transpired, and now she has this desire to look inside yet again. Mary stoops down. She looks inside. What's she going to see? Perhaps she will see something that others have missed. Boy, when you see the details as is given in the earlier verses, and it's laid out exactly where everything was laid and where his body was laid and where the linen was laid and where the napkin was laid, everything was very precise. This body had not been taken by some group of bandits and just been ripped to shreds and moved aside. Everything was set very specifically. You see, Jesus was risen of his own power. But she looks inside, and here she's going to interact with two angels that are now in the tomb. It says, it's interesting, the Bible says she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. These angels were obviously not there when Peter and John came. We could speculate as to why they weren't there, but they didn't appear to Peter and John. And so the first thing that we note about the angels as Mary has looked inside, we notice the angels' dress. The Bible says that they're clothed in white, seated at the head and feet of where the body was laid. Their white is a symbol of the purity of the Lord and their appearance on the Lord's behalf. The angels' dress. Then we notice the angels' discussion. Look what the Bible says there. The Bible says, they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Again, I think we'd have to be honest with ourselves and say, if ever there was a time that we lingered by a tomb, we'd have no expectation that we'd be having a conversation. And if it was true that we're going to have a conversation, I don't know where that conversation would necessarily go. But they see Mary, and their question is, why weepest thou? Look at her response. She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. At this point, Mary is focused in on the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you might say that she's focused in on the physical side of things, or the natural side of things. She's not yet begun to switch her thinking to spiritual things. She's focused more in on the body, where have you taken it, instead of focusing in on the resurrection. Again, if you and I traveled back, and we won't take time to do it, we've done it at other times. The Lord prophesied of this over and over again to the disciples and to his followers. And he said, we will go up to Jerusalem. I will be betrayed. I will be slain. But I will rise again. And so in truth, everyone should have been saying, oh, well, this is exactly like he said he was going to do. But it's not what happened. We saw back in Mark in the opening verses that I read. Even when Mary tells them that she has interacted with the risen Savior, the Bible says that they believed her not. But in this discussion with the angelic beings, she is focused in on the natural. Where's his body? Where have you taken him? So we find, first of all, in this matter that Mary lingers at the tomb, verse number 11. Peter and John have left. We then find that Mary has boldness and looks inside. And then Mary listens to another voice. Now again, let's kind of paint this picture for us. Peter and John have left her. She's all alone. She's weeping outside, lingering at the tomb. She gets up the nerve and is going to look inside. She has a conversation with two angelic beings. The conversation goes like this: why weepest thou? Tell me where you've taken the body, and I'll go take care of it from here. But now another voice is going to come up behind her. And Mary listens to this voice. Look at verses 14 and 15. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So there's another figure that comes into play. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Again, very probing questions. Jesus never asked questions for his own edification. Probing questions to get to the heart of the matter. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to transition Mary Magdalene in her thinking about the physical or her thinking about the natural and move her to thinking about the spiritual. And if that doesn't explain my life at times, well, I don't know what does. I think there are many occasions where I'm focused in on the natural side of things, or I'm focused in on the physical side of things, and God's continually, through his Holy Spirit, asking me questions to direct me to what's more important, the spiritual side of things. And I'm grieved, I'm convicted about that time and again, but in our situation right here, Mary hears the voice of the Lord, he's come up behind her, and for whatever reason, she does not recognize him. Again, I don't know at what point in time now this lady would have been startled by something, but apparently she's not startled by the angelic beings. Now she has another voice, another person that's come up, and she's taking that in. But here in the graveyard, she's talking with angels, she's talking with an unidentified individual, and these people are asking her this probing question: why are you weeping? At first, she believes it to be the gardener. In Forest City, Iowa, little town, not that many people that live in that town, but my grandmother and my grandfather are both buried, and I've got several other family members that are buried in the same cemetery, and we had a dear friend that for years and years, he took care of that cemetery, and he made sure that the grounds were well kept. It's not a very big cemetery. It's kind of carved out from the cornfields and the soybean fields and so forth. But he did a wonderful job of caring for that graveyard, making sure it was mowed, making sure the flowers looked nice, making sure that everything was well kept. And as you can imagine, up in north central Iowa during the wintertime, that's no easy task. Well, I imagine that it's a benefit to have someone that's going to keep up this kind of a scene. And so she says, well, this must be the gardener, and he's just coming, and he's asking me the same questions, the same probing questions. I believe it's interesting to note all of these encounters after the resurrection and the questions that he's asking, and the probing truth he's seeking to get to. When will you remember what I've taught you? As parents, there are occasions where we see the light bulb go off in our children's heads. Perhaps you've never seen that happen in your children's lives, but hopefully at one point in time you will see that. But isn't it something when you see something click with them and you're like, they got it, they got it? I believe all these questions are seeking to drive Mary to what is most important, and that's the spiritual side of things. Moving her from, hey, where's that body that I might get it, that I might care for it, that I might add perfume to it, that I might minister the body? Who's taking it? Where is it located now? Moving her from that side of the physical or the natural to the Lord's statement, I will rise again. I will rise again. Boy, think of how many times we've been exposed to spiritual truth and we did not get it the first time. Praise the Lord that he was willing to give it to us again and again and again. Praise the Lord that the Word of God is given to us line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't know how many times you've heard the Sunday school teacher teach the lesson. How many times you've heard the message. I did have a funny interaction with Ariana. Is she in here tonight? There she is. All right, she got her hand waving. We had a funny interaction on Sunday. She was really upset with me Sunday morning. She's back from college. She had her Bible all primed to open to Luke. And I did not preach from Luke. And she said, how could you not preach from Luke, Pastor? And I just told her right then, you'll finish college and probably every bit of your degree before I'm done with the book of Luke. And so I said, you'll probably be back with your husband, 4 or 5 kids, maybe a couple of grandchildren before I finish Luke. That's okay. That's all right. So we had a good chuckle about that. But you know, the Word of God is given to us line upon line, precept upon precept, and we understand it in context and we see it again and again. You say, how many times did it take your parents telling you to brush your teeth before you finally did it on your own? How many times did it take for them to say, make your bed before you finally got it on your own? So these are probing questions driving her to the truth. Hey, the truth is he's risen. Everything in the scene points to the fact that he rose again. Everyone in their speech points to the fact that he rose again. All the questions point to the fact that he rose again. The power of the stone being rolled away, the soldiers being dispersed, the seal being broken. Everyone should have immediately said, oh, this is what Jesus spoke of. But just like the rest of us, it takes time, doesn't it? And I don't always get it the first time. Think about all the truth that you've been exposed to, and think about how you were exposed to it, and then think about that truth coming to pass. And that's what we're talking about here. The resurrection is a reality. This has actually happened. This has become truth. This has become a wonderful past event. See, up until this time frame, it was just prophesied about. And the Lord had told them, this is going to happen. But now the Lord is speaking to them in terms of it has already happened. And boy, we rejoice in his resurrection. Okay, so we move on. So Mary listens to this voice, but doesn't actually recognize the Lord yet. So let's go on. Verse number 16. Now she's going to recognize the Lord. So the Lord says to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. That's kind of an interesting statement there, isn't it? So she's going to take the body away? Yes, I'll just lug him over my shoulder and I'll take him back with me tonight. You know, that's just kind of an interesting thought. Verse number 16, though, here's where everything changes. Here's the light bulb spiritually going on. Here's the dawning of this new day. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now again, I don't know that we can fully comprehend how this conversation would have been in light of what Mary had been delivered from. In light of everything that has happened there as she looked down and lingered at the grave and hears from the angels. And then she thinks it's the gardener talking, but now there's a much different tone that is taken. And he calls her by name. I said this in messages in recent days. You know, it would be one thing if God dealt with all of us corporately. And he said, okay, I'm going to corporately bless this church. I'm going to corporately bless this ministry. But, you know, it's amazing when we think that it's not a corporate thing, it's a personal thing. And Jesus knows me by name, and Jesus knows you by name, and he's our shepherd as though we are the only one. And he calls her by name, and there's an immediate recognition. Mary calls him Master. This is a term of endearment, acknowledging him as the supreme teacher. He is the one and only who is due her honor, respect, and full obedience. John chapter 10, in verse number 3. As the Lord is laying out, in fact, it's probably profitable to turn there so you can see the context. John chapter 10, the Lord is speaking about some of the great I Ams. And in John chapter 10, in verse number 3, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Perhaps you have been in a setting where you are interacting with multiple people on a daily basis. Perhaps it's a high school setting. Perhaps it's a college setting. Perhaps it's working around dozens and dozens of employees. And if you're just honest and forthright, you can't remember their names. This used to happen all the time in college. You've been introduced to the person 10 times. And you see them coming down the walkway, and you're like, what is that guy's name? I know it. Does it start with a J? No, it starts with an M. They're getting closer and closer to you, and so you finally just said, hey, bud. Hey, man. And you're like, I have no idea what that guy's name is. This probably happened to all of us at one point in time. Not that way with the Lord. He knows us all by name. And it's interesting as we read further, the Bible says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before him, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now go back to John chapter 20. In verse number 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Isn't that the fulfillment of John chapter 10 and verse number 3? Or a fulfillment? He calleth his own sheep by name. And then the Bible says in verse number 4 of John chapter 10, they know his voice. Hey, this is the same voice that delivered me from the demoniacs or from the demons. This is the same one that brought me out of such an horrible pit. I know this voice. How is it that a mother could be in Walmart and hear a baby crying a couple of aisles away and say, I know that's my child? How is it that a mother can be walking down the hallway and still be passing the restrooms and hear a child crying in the nursery saying, uh-oh, I better get there. I know it's mine. The Lord knows us by name, and we hear his voice. John chapter 10 and verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Mary looks on the face of her Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have stuck around just a little bit longer and you were benefited because you did? Oh, Pastor, one time I was a little kid And all the other little kids said they weren't going to wait any longer, but I did. And because I did, I received, you fill in the blank. Did your family ever desert you when you were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? Oh, nothing's going to happen. This is a waste of time, but you stuck around. And so you saw the comet pass in the night sky. As a youngster, you received the benefit of sticking around just a little bit longer. Mary received this first benefit from lingering just a little bit longer. Her mind is turned from the natural or from the physical to the spiritual. And she lays eyes on the risen Savior. And in this, verse number 17, she learns a valuable lesson. Mary lingered there at the tomb when Peter and John headed out. She got up enough boldness to look inside the tomb. She listens to these voices. Now she is going to spend this time in looking on the face of the Savior. And now, verse number 17, she learns the valuable lesson. Look what the Word of God says. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary learns a valuable lesson. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Christ is telling her to loose him from her embrace. He is saying, stop clinging to me. The relationship of the Lord would be different after his resurrection than it was before. He was no longer just their master. He was their Lord and God. It's not lingering now with him physically. It's going and telling others of his resurrection. It's interesting because the nature of mankind is to adhere ourselves to some kind of symbol of an individual's death. Perhaps you've been in churches around the world in which they still have the mummified remains of some past priest, some past leader. You've been in those positions and you've seen those bodies. We have a way of lingering around those kinds of things. And the world has a way of lingering around those cemetery plots and those headstones and everything like this. The world has the ability and capacity to linger around the dead. But Jesus turns our focus. And it's no longer a focus upon the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a focus upon our responsibility now that he is risen. We sing the song again and again, I serve the risen Savior. He's in the world today. I've been given the opportunity to travel to a lot of different places around the globe, and it's amazing to me how false religion drives people to the dead. And they emphasize the dead, and they honor the dead, and all these kinds of things. Jesus Christ does not drive us to the dead. He drives us to the empty tomb. And it's not for us to simply linger at the empty tomb. It's to go and tell somebody that the tomb is empty. And I want us to see tonight that I could spend all the time, as Mary was about to, spend all the time focusing my energy in on where's the body? And Jesus is saying, that's not the focus. I mean, just think about it tonight. We truthfully do not know what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. I believe that's on purpose. We really don't know for sure the nature of the sepulcher. And I know that there's a lot of places in Israel and they claim this or they claim that and everything like this. But man is so prone to going to those spots and to honoring the spot or to honor the dead. And Jesus is turning the focus. This is not the place to honor. The thing to honor is the risen Savior and to go and tell somebody. After his resurrection, he detached himself from us in the bodily sense. We're now attached to him in the spiritual realm of things. We do not cling to his physical likeness. There's no body on a cross in the front of our auditorium. We don't serve the one hanging on the cross. We don't wear his likeness around our neck and think that it's going to add something to us. I don't have a postcard in my wallet and say, okay, here's my likeness of Jesus. Why? Because he's God and he's risen from the dead. And my responsibility is not to that physical presence, but to his name and his holiness and to the fact that I've been left here on this earth to proclaim the tomb is empty. We have no graven images of the Lord. We focus in on his deity and the fact that he is a risen God. If you're taking notes tonight, you might write this verse down and perhaps it'd be something that you would meditate on in the days ahead. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We must realize that Christ wants us to tell others. We can put ourselves into Mary's shoes, and we probably would have been the same way. Now that you're here, well, let's just say this is moms receiving their kids back from the college semester. You've been gone from me for all these months, and now that you're in my presence, I'm not letting go of you. Now, if it's a daughter, they're probably receiving it back as well. If it's a son, they're like, oh, mom, this is gross, nasty, you know. Don't hug me so tight, you know. Mom's trying to hug. I don't want to lose them physically. I want to linger. I want to continue to hear. And yet the Lord is saying, no, that's not the purpose of my resurrection, so that I would just be lingering and you'd make this a shrine and make some kind of image after this whole thing. No. I'm risen that verse number 17 and 18 might be fulfilled. Go and tell my brethren. We must realize that Christ wants us to tell others. And so we speak of his resurrection and ascension. What an unbelievable privilege to be the one that would speak to the Lord Jesus Christ first. You know, it wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. It wasn't Matthew. It wasn't one of the disciples. Mary Magdalene. What it must have been like for her to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe she's a representation of probably how we all would have been. Oh, I found the Lord. Let's just stay here. And let's just continue to fellowship. And the Lord said, no, that's not the purpose of this meeting. The purpose of this meeting is for me to tell you to go back and tell others. Christian, you've heard these kinds of things all through your life. But when will you be moved from the natural side of things to the spiritual directive? The world, in its religious system, drives us to the grave. the Lord Jesus Christ, in truth, sends us from the empty tomb that we might tell others. And Mary Magdalene is a wonderful example of going and telling somebody. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. I pray that you'd help all of us in this Christmas season to be faithful tellers of the truth. Perhaps there are some individuals tonight that have friends, family members, relatives, they have neighbors, they have co-workers. And tonight, to the best of their knowledge, those companions do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray through the Christmas season that you would use us to be faithful representatives of our risen Lord. The whole interaction was designed to confirm in Mary's heart the truth that had been delivered, I will rise again. And upon receiving that confirmation and hearing the voice of the Master, it's her thought, okay, let's linger, let's stay. I don't want to lose your body again. And the Lord said, no. We're going to transition now. And I want you to go and tell my brethren. And we have that responsibility to take what we're given here in the Word of God on a weekly basis and then to go out from the walls of this building to be able to tell somebody else. While the world and their religious system drives people to honor the dead, Christianity has an empty tomb. And we go forth from the empty tomb proclaiming that Jesus is risen. And I pray that you'd help us to all be faithful witnesses, that we'd follow in the steps of Mary Magdalene, that first teller of the resurrection. Thank you for our time tonight, Lord. May this have been a help to one or more in our congregation tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.